CliffCentral.com.
Anthea, and I do not dilly nor dally, because the big feature here is that you're here.
Good.
And
morning.
We have so much on the finance. Mostly because we have so much finance, because we have the fifth finance minister in 3 years. Not a great stat, but it's a stat nonetheless. Where do we go from here, Anthea? Let's open with that.
Yeah, Tito's got 2 weeks before the medium-term budget speech on the 24th of October. It's not bad news. I mean, there was drama ahead of him being appointed, with Nene being fingers being pointed at Nene, and whether the uncertainty really was the issue with Nhlanhla Nene, and whether or not he was going to be replaced, because I watched that rand go above 17 to the euro. But now, luckily, it's back, 16.76 we are trading to the euro at the moment. And I think it's not just that we've got a new finance minister, and I think people like him. You know, he used to be the Reserve Bank governor.
Sure, but is he likable, Anthea? We don't care what people think. People are mostly stupid. What do you think?
I like him. I think he's very smart. He's had a couple of silly tweets in the past, in the beginning of this year.
Doesn't he believe in the state bank?
Yes.
Well, that's just stupid.
Yeah. And talking about the Reserve Bank and perhaps how we should nationalize and how we should own shares. Too much. I mean, I think the one thing you do want is independence of your Reserve Bank or your central bank. So
sure.
That's the only thing that has me worried. There's a lot of talk about what's going to be happening at the medium-term budget speech. I don't think they're going to raise VAT, which is, I think, our concern as consumers. They'll try and do whatever they can to keep things in check ahead of elections next year, I think.
Sorry, Anthony, what do you mean? Raise VAT, as in they want to put VAT up again?
Well, so to balance the budget, they need to get money because they've been spending too much money.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
we know, right? This
yeah,
is a yeah. foregone well, conclusion. I don't need to repeat that. The
yeah,
state-owned
sure.
enterprises are borrowing money left, right, and center. The guarantees they need to put up, so forth, so forth. So the question is, where are they going to get this money from? And there is a possibility that they would raise VAT again, but I don't think so.
But
people have been talking about it.
But that must be an absolute shutdown, and people must be lynched for that. I mean, like, as a society, if we don't...
Bad news for you, Ben.
If we don't down tools and literally lynch these motherfuckers, if they want to... I mean, sorry, apologies for my coarse language. But the fact that VAT was raised in the first place is scandalous. If they're even thinking about this, then we've got the wrong people. Even the wrong people can admit that they've got the wrong people if they're thinking about raising VAT again.
But the question is, how else are they going to balance the budget?
Stop spending so much bloody money.
Sure. That is probably the answer. What you want, I mean, you know, there were also riots when that happened in Greece, remember? When we had the GFC and all the European countries, the pigs, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece. What was the S? I forget the S.
Spain.
Thank you very much.
You just make it up right now.
What?
The pigs.
No. I don't make stuff up.
These finance terms are getting more and more street by the week.
Anyway, my point was that all of them had to go into austerity and they couldn't be spending. So they couldn't spend on infrastructure. They couldn't spend on social services, social welfare, just your basic services. Granted, they get a lot more social and services and benefits than we do in South Africa. And those were called austerity measures, right? So you need the government to spend in order to keep the economy going, to keep the roads working, you know, to give us schooling, to give poor people grants. So it's not an easy one. And I get that if they have to raise VAT, it'll be a real problem. And I think the government gets that as well. Anyway, so it wasn't just that we have a new finance minister that the rand strengthened. It's also that U.S. President Donald Trump carried on tweeting last week that criticizing, basically, excuse me, the U.S. Federal Reserve for raising interest rates. Does this sound vaguely familiar to you? A couple of weeks ago, let's call it a month ago, we were talking about Turkey.
Yes.
And do you remember that Erdogan called the central bank raising interest rates evil, the worst evil or something. Anyway, President Donald Trump has decided that raising interest rates in the U.S. is a bad thing. Of course, the U.S. dollar weakened, and on the back of that, the rand strengthened against the U.S. dollar. We're now trading 14.51 to the U.S. dollar and to the British.
That's good.
I know, not bad, right? Below 15, sure.
Better, yeah.
That's like the big relief. Oh, as long as we're below 50.
Basically, when 50 becomes your benchmark, it's not hard to win.
Adam. Yep. And then, unfortunately, to the British pound, we're still above 19. So 19.02 currently. Not great news. And then the other concern we have, of course, is that oil is rising still. $81 a barrel on Friday, which is very concerning, considering our petrol price just keeps climbing. And that the government thinks that they can subsidize the petrol price by not putting through these oil price increases, which is another issue for the budget, because if they're going to subsidize the petrol price, they need money to do that. They're buying oil at at least $81 a barrel.
Anthea, I had my Uber driver last week was from Botswana, and he said that he brings back petrol over the border.
And doesn't pay not look, not does, look, doesn't pay tax on it.
Not looking to incriminate the guy. No, he's bringing back. Sam. He's bringing back like 20 liters in his boot. Okay, again, I'm not trying to incriminate the guy.
Is that illegal?
But it just proves the point. Like you said, it costs like I don't know, like 10 puller for a liter.
I think the big concern with South Africa at the moment is not necessarily the actual petrol price, or you know, the what it costs to make petrol, but all the other stuff, the tax and the road accident fund that everyone's complaining about. And yes, I totally get it. I think it's ridiculous. They're taxing us on top of tax.
Yeah.
It's a fight you need to take up, Ben, if you feel so strongly about it.
But I've got a big week, Anthea.
There's so much on his plate. I don't know if he can actually.
You know what? next week. I think next. I'm taking next year off, and I'm just going to fight for stuff because these politicians they pull the purse. They get away with the stuff because no one's stopping them.
Is this you announcing your candidacy, your campaign?
Yeah, I guess. Well, no one else is doing it. Clearly, okay. These guys think they can raise VAT again.
I'll be your campaign manager.
Thanks, yeah.
Great.
You got my vote.
Thanks, Anthea.
All right. And then stocks snapped a 4-day losing streak last week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the JSE were all days the JSE ended negative. And then on Friday, the All Share Index was up 2.5%. Naspers, which had been falling, not just falling, plummeting for the last couple of weeks, was up 8% on Friday. Now, Naspers is an interesting one because you know it's about 22% of our index, of our market, basically. One share makes up 22% of our index. And predominantly, it is held or it holds shares in Tencent, the Chinese company, which has fallen 44% since its high. It's lost $250 billion of market value. By the way, the market cap is $600 billion now. So $250 billion in the last 9 months, which is 3.6 trillion rand of market cap that it's lost. And the funny thing about Tencent is that actually shares, the hedge funds who would normally short these shares haven't actually been shorting them, which means that I think it means that Tencent is still very much a market darling. I mean, and you can see from that the tech stocks really are still very much in favor because on Friday, again, it wasn't the traditional shares or the blue chips, as we call them, that lifted the U.S. markets. In fact, it was the tech stocks. Unfortunately, this morning I checked Asia. It's under pressure again. There's a lot of concern at the moment about trade wars. And, of course, that was started by Donald Trump. We're just going to blame him for everything. The market under a lot of pressure, people concerned about which way we're going and about global growth in general. And then on company news, Sanlam announced on Friday that they are buying Saham, which is a Moroccan insurer, paying $1 billion for the privilege of owning the additional 53.4%, which they didn't own, which means Sanlam now has direct presence in 33 countries in Africa.
Wow.
That's quite amazing for a little South African company out of Bellville in Cape Town. They have a network of 700 branches and more than 3,000 employees with an annual turnover of $1.2 billion.
I know what's more impressive. All the stats are just Bellville.
Yeah. And then Mundi, the paper company, also South African, reported third quarter earnings up 30%. This is definitely one of my favorite companies at the moment. And if ever there was going to be a blue chip company, I don't think we talk about blue chip companies anymore. Like, they used to be nice traditional companies that you can depend on through the market economic cycles, but things change so quickly these days. Mondi, generally the paper company, generally just, I like them because one, management have continued to kind of contain costs and just proven that they're a good company, that they know how to hold their own despite all the changes in the economy that are happening and the fact that we're moving to digital rather than print media. I mean, I guess the one thing about Mondi, which is exciting, and I think I might have mentioned this before, is that they make all those corrugated boxes that all your internet purchases are delivered in. So maybe that's what's keeping them going. And then Tiger Brands announced on Friday that it is reopening its facility it had closed because it had been implicated in the world's largest outbreak of listeriosis.
We haven't heard much about that here. Let's know how Peloni sales are going.
Not great. There seems to be a lot more back on the shelves, but I don't know if people are buying.
So definitely we've seen a lot of companies, a lot of food companies reporting in the last 3 weeks, and there's no doubt that this listeriosis has impacted negatively the sale of processed meat. And it kind of has to, right? Because you think about it, if you're a mother and you're used to put bologna into your child's lunchbox, you definitely don't anymore. Why take the chance? You know, you'd rather buy, I don't know, what would you rather buy? Cheese, I guess. Anyway, the Tiger Brand share was up 4% on Friday on this news. All very exciting. And then LVMH, the luxury goods brand, put out a very strong trading update for the third quarter last week. Organic growth up 10%. Pretty much all their categories were up between 10 and 14%, which is interesting, considering that we're now so concerned about global growth and about the trade wars and about where we're going and where we're going to see growth and what people are going to be spending on. So well done to them. Another company that kind of manages to hold its own throughout. And then that's pretty much it. Not too busy a week ahead of us. Bit of macroeconomic data, not many companies reporting. I think everyone just looking forward to next week's medium-term budget speech.
Is there anything we could really be looking forward to, Anthea? I mean, it's just a little last takeaway there.
From the budget speech?
Yeah, I mean, is T-Dog going to come in guns blazing, make a name for himself, or is he looking just to kind of, you know, sort of rotate the bowling?
I think he's just going to be very cool, calm, collected. It's going to be a very tempered budget speech. Nothing exciting, no big changes. He's just going to try really, actually, to keep the ratings agencies happy. That's going to be the big thing. How is he going to balance the budget? You know, he's the usual story of taking money from Peter to pay Paul and where he's going to do it. So I don't think any big changes. You know, Moody's was supposed to put out a statement on Friday and decided not to, rather to wait until after the budget speech.
Well, that makes sense.
And they are the only ratings agency that don't have us below investment grade. So it's quite important what they think. And I think Tito knows that.
Very nice, Anthea. Always lovely to see you.
Great to be back.
Hope you have a lovely week.
After taking on the world, showing off your guns.
A little half Iron Man.
Just casually. Congratulations, by the way.
CliffCentral.com